Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. Today is March the 5th, also known in many states. I believe it's 15 states, including Alabama, as Super Tuesday, Super Tuesday. But overall, today is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Today we are 18 days into our Lenten fasting journey. I pray you all have experienced some form of breakthrough, breakthrough in your spiritual life, breakthrough in your mental, breakthrough in your relationships. And even if you haven't experienced any type of tangible breakthroughs, just keep pushing. Right? Because this time of fasting and praying is designed to recenter us, to reprogram our database, right? Because a lot of times we have so much clutter and so much debris and so much junk in our mental database that we need the Lord to reprogram us, to take some stuff out and put some new stuff in order to redirect our route. Y'all know how GPS's work. When you get on the wrong street, that GPS will say recalculating route. Well, a lot of times we need God to recalculate our route. And this is what fasting and praying is designed to do, to get us back on the right track, which is the track that God wants to lead us on. So today is Super Tuesday, and I want to talk about one thing. Voting matters. Voting matters. A voteless people is a hopeless people. This morning, we are reminded that prophets of old, like Amos and Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Elijah, John the Baptist, even Jesus himself worked to make change in governmental and religious leaders' practices that were oppressing God's people by speaking truth to power. In fact, the call of Jesus upon his followers is to be the salt of the earth and to be the light that shines brightly in dark places. As believers, we have a mission mandate under God to work for the good of our communities and the nation in which we live, that others will see our good works, have a conversion experience, and give glory to God. And when governing authorities have gone astray, contrary to our understanding of God's commandments, that is to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, then we have a responsibility to work for the change of that governmental structure that has lost its foundation in God's truth and righteousness. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian and pastor, spoke truth to power against Nazi Germany. Mahatma Gandhi spoke truth to power to a British colonialism of India that had their knee on the necks of his people. Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Mary McLeod Bethune, Fannie Lou Hamer, just to name a few, spoke truth to power to advocate for changes in unjust policies and practices towards people of color. Dr. King and so many others during the civil rights movement spoke truth to power to a government that denied inalienable rights to people of color. They all did this to bring about the needed changes in governmental policies that were oppressing God's humanity. One of the most significant ways in this current day that we can speak truth to power to affect the change needed in our national, state, and local leadership and legislation, here it is by voting. We're blessed to even have the right to vote. Because historically, for centuries, most people who have lived on this planet have been ruled by some incarnation of kings, queens, warlords, emperors, tyrants, pharaohs, strongmen, presidents for life, and gangsters. Just 100 years ago, women did not have the right to vote in national elections. And history celebrates Alice Paul, a women's suffragist who began a hunger strike in 1917 after they had picketed Woodrow Wilson's White House and were put in jail and were force-fed behind prison bars for their advocation of women's rights. But they were only fighting for white women's rights. Some white suffragists worried that advocating for black women's suffrage would alienate white Southern allies, jeopardizing the entire movement's success. And so black women was like, well, fine, then we'll just start our own movement. You need to know more than the name of Rosa Parks. You also need to know Sojourner Truth, Anna Julia Cooper, Mary Eliza Church Terrell. You need to know Ida B. Wells Barnett. These women, black women, suffered so that people of color could have rights under the Constitution. John Lewis was beaten with a nightstick and suffered a fractured skull fighting for our civil rights, of which the right to vote was primary. Mega Evers, an NAACP leader, was shot and killed in the driveway of his Jackson, Mississippi home because he was advocating, get this, for the rights of African Americans to vote. Dr. King was assassinated on a Memphis hotel balcony in 1968. These sacrifices and those of many others led to the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Church, voting matters. Your vote represents your voice. Here's what some have said about the importance of voting. One person said that bad officials are elected by good citizens who don't vote. First Lady Michelle Obama said, here's the problem. While some folks are frustrated and turned out and staying at home on election day, trust me, she said, other folks are showing up. Why? Because democracy continues with or without you. Voting matters. And when you really think about it, voting, in the words of John Lewis, is good trouble. Voting is good trouble because it remembers and carries on the legacy of those men and women who marched, demonstrated, were persecuted, some bled, some died, some who made tremendous sacrifices so that we could have the right to stand in a line to vote. Voting is good trouble. It's good trouble because it gives voice to the voiceless and powerless. Voting is good trouble because it carries with it the potential to make the needed changes in our leadership, public policy, and democracy through those whom we elect to office. Voting is good trouble because it gives the power back to the people. But voting is also good trouble because when we vote, we are saying to bad leadership, we've had enough. Enough of your resistance to condemn white supremacists and militia hate groups. Enough of your calling the alt-right those some good people. Enough of giving cold messages during a debate to groups like the Proud Boys, Stand Back and Stand By. Enough of your misogynistic prejudices against women. Enough of your racial profiling of people looking for a better life. Millions of people died during the pandemic because we had people in office calling the virus a hoax and trying to cover it up. Voting, church, is resistance, because voting says enough of your arrogance, enough of your lies, enough of your abuse of power, enough of your mismanagement of the office to which you were elected. Enough of your policies that only hurt people and kill their dreams for a better life. Voting is good trouble because it puts the fear in them that they can be removed from office. It puts the fear in them that you work for us, and by the power of the vote, you were put in office, and by the power of the vote, we can take you out of office. This is not about ideology. It doesn't matter whether you vote Republican or Democrat or independent. None of that matters. This is about who are those men and women most qualified to lead us? Who are those men and women who honor truth, integrity, and will work for justice and equality? Who choose to lead by the higher ground of love and unity rather than chaos, hate, and division? Voting matters. Your vote matters. My vote matters. Our vote matters. So let's get in some good trouble today. I'm certain that John Lewis derived his notion of good trouble from the Bible. He was steeped in faith. He went to seminary, studied the scriptures, and became an ordained Baptist minister. And throughout his life, his faith was his guiding light, his North Star. He, like many who experienced oppression and violence sanctioned by the law, preached the gospel as a force that liberates from sin and death, liberates from injustice we as human beings inflict on each other. He also understood that the gospel liberates us from hate and grudge and calls us to forgive. Another of his famous quotes is, "You have to have the capacity and the ability to take what people did and how they did it and forgive them and move on." Listen, that's a whole sermon in itself. Because the gospel, the message of Christ, which talks about the growth of God's kingdom on earth, wherever love, mercy, and forgiveness abide, instead of money and raw power, is good trouble. It should disquiet us. It should disconcert us. It should call us into being good troublemakers. I'm talking about the kingdom of God acting on our faith and beliefs, acting faithfully. And no, good trouble is not safe trouble. There will always be those for whom God's kingdom as it is lived here on earth will be a pesky nuisance, something to be eradicated. We see in the example of John Lewis how the powers that tried to quench his trouble, good trouble. But God needs in this season holy and good troublemakers like John Lewis. God needs holy and good troublemakers like us. And though we may not be perfect in our strife to stir things up for the good and the healing of the world, God forgives us where we fall short and surrounds us, there it is, with mercy and forgiveness, holding us in his everlasting care. So let's get in some good trouble today. Let's shine our light into someone else's dark place. Let us be the salt of the earth, the flavor, the moral preservatives. And if you live in one of the 15 states that's voting today, get out and vote. Make your voice be heard. Resist the devil that says your vote don't count. Trust me, beloved, it counts because you count. All right. I want to pray for you today. Come on, let's pray. Eternal and everlasting God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for another opportunity to experience your love, your kindness, and your tender mercy. We thank you that last night wasn't our last night, but you encamp your angels around our bed. You made death behave, woke us up this morning, knowing the joys of a brand new day. We thank you that things are as well as they are. And we can admit that things could be better, but we also acknowledge that they could be worse. So we rejoice that for every mountain you brought us over, for every trial you've seen us through, for every blessing, we shout hallelujah. And for this, we give you praise. As we step into a brand new day, we come before you seeking your protection and guidance. We acknowledge the spiritual battles that may arise, and we place our trust in your mighty strength. So we ask, Father, that you armor us with your truth. Shield our mind and heart with the truth of your word, allowing it to discern deception and guide our thoughts and actions. Clothe us with your righteousness. Empower us to stand firm in your righteousness today, resisting temptation and negativity and reflecting your character in all that we do. Equip us with your peace. Grant us your peace that transcends understanding, guiding our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Empower us with your spirit. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, granting us discernment, wisdom, and the strength to overcome any challenge. Raise our shield of faith today. Protect us from the fiery darts of the enemy, using our shield of faith to extinguish doubt and negativity, and remind us, Lord, of your promises. Let your word be our constant reminder that you are with us always and that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Guide our steps in your light. Lead us away from darkness and towards your marvelous light, revealing your will for our life and guiding us on the path you have set for us. Father, as we get our day started, we surrender our anxieties. We surrender our fears to your loving care, trusting in your power to overcome any obstacle, to tunnel through any valley, to cross any river, and to climb any mountain. Thank you, for this is the day that you have made, and we will choose to rejoice. Even when hell is trying to tear us down, we will choose. Even when the bills are high and the money is low, we will choose. Even when our health is giving out, when we are faced with disappointments, when we are faced with distressing situations, Lord, we choose to rejoice today and be glad in it, because you made this day with us in mind. So Lord, we ask that you would just grant us traveling grace and mercy as we get out today and move around at work, as we stand in line at the polls to vote. Lord, we come against all distractions, any plot, scheme, plans that the enemy has purposed for us today. Lord, we rebuke Satan right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just speak blessings upon all of those who are connected to this call. Lord, I pray that they walk in victory today, knowing that you are alive. And because you are alive, we shall have the victory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. It is in that name we pray this prayer. Every heart say amen. And amen. Hey, listen, I am praying for you today. As always, the replay call will be uploaded to our website this morning. Be careful today. Be watchful. If you live in the state of Alabama, go vote, because a voteless people is a hopeless people. Y'all be encouraged today. Peace.